Today we're going to talk about Jesus' resurrection and why people worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. You know, our Torah study was on 8th, which is the new beginning, which is also 1, which is the first day of the week. And the title for this is Already Gone. Can y'all say Already Gone? Already Gone. You'll see why in a minute. You know, Tammy and I went to a church to visit one of her friends because she asked us, and we do that. And just so happened that they gave out the little, you know, little bulletin thing. At the back of it, there was a little list, and it said why we worship on Sunday, the Lord's Day, parentheses, Lord's Day. Well, goodness gracious, what did Jesus say about what day he was the Lord of? He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. So when John in Revelation says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, what day is the Lord's Day? The Sabbath day. So they had these lists of why they worship on Sunday. And we're going to look at a couple of those verses there. First one is in Acts chapter 20, and it's verse 7. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. I apologize. I don't have any projector work here. You'll have to turn with me. It says, Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, on the first day of the week. We know first day of the week is Sunday, right? When we gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, but he prolonged his message until midnight. Look, they were gathered together to have a dinner on the first day of the week, and Paul preached. Okay? Now listen, Jews typically don't cook on Sabbath. So you know what they have? I'll probably butcher the word, but they have this thing called Havdalah. They have a meal when the sun goes down because they can cook again. It's very normal for them to get together at the sunset, which a day begins at sunset, right? First day of the week, so what we would call Saturday night, they got together to have a meal. Totally normal. And while they were all there, Paul decided to do some teaching. Now, it doesn't say it was the Sabbath there, but they did get together on the first day of the week and break bread. And that was a custom. A lot of people don't know that. It was a custom because they could cook a good meal. They wouldn't even kindle a fire on the Sabbath. And it says, he was intending to leave the next day. He prolonged his message until midnight. That would be Sunday night. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. Doesn't say they were in a synagogue. Says they were in somebody's house. And there was a little a boy, and he falls out the window. He's dead, and a miracle happens. He's brought back to life. Okay? That was one of the reasons they give why they worship on Sunday, because they say that this is where Paul changed it. Now, I have a problem with that. First of all, they don't know the Hebrew custom of getting together on Saturday night. You know, as far back as I can remember, Saturday night was the one night that I remember we got to go into town and eat some McDonald's or something. Because we didn't spend money on Sabbath. We've been doing this forever. Now, is that enough for you to say that Sabbath has changed to Sunday? It's not for me, but it's the verse they use as a proof text. And here's another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll give you a second to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In the first verse here in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints," or some kind of gathering of materials or money, or, well, it wouldn't have been money, it would have been cows or whatever the collection was. "Collection for the saints, I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also." Paul's giving instruction on how to do the collection. It says, "On the first day of the week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper." Why? On the first day of the week. "So that no collections be made when I come." He said, "I want you to go out to the field and get the goats and whatever else, gather the harvest, whatever collection you're going to be made," which involved work, "on the first day of the week, so that when I come to preach on Sabbath, y'all ain't working." That's another proof text. They say the collection is to be made on Sunday. And I say to you, if you're going to go out and do work to bring money into this church, don't go do it on Saturday. You go do it before, and just as he instructs here, put it aside and save it till the time comes for Paul to preach. Do you see how they twisted that verse? It's like Charles says, big time twisted. Do your work before the Sabbath. Put it up and save it. He wouldn't have said save it if you were going to give it the very same day. But he said save it. That's their proof text. That's a pretty weak argument, if you ask me. The other argument is that Jesus rose on Sunday morning. That's the final argument. And did he rise on Sunday morning? You know, I had been taught before that he rose late Saturday afternoon. But they say he rose Sunday morning. Well, where's their argument for that? Well, let's look at the scriptures and just see what it says. Let's go to Matthew 12 and verse 38. We'll see what Jesus says about these things. Matthew 12 and 38. Because he's going to tell you exactly when he rose here. He says, verse 38, he says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' And he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet.'" That's one sign. And he says, verse 40, For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of, my version says, sea monster or whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of earth. It repeats it twice. 3 days and three nights. You have to have 3 days and three nights or else it's not right. 3 days and three nights. And let's go to Matthew 26 and 59. And these are some people talking about why they should kill Jesus and what Jesus had said. Verse 59 of chapter 26 says, "Now the chief priest and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so they might put him to death. They didn't find any, even though many witnesses came forward. But later, two came forward and said, 'This man stated, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Now, when they're talking about that, he's talking about his resurrection 3 days. We have to have 3 days. 3 days and three nights is 72 hours, is it not? Has to be. And 3 days is 72 hours. So, I've got y'all a drawing here. Let's go to Matthew 27:45. You're right at it here already. Now, to understand this and to analyze it, we need to know exactly when he died. And this tells you. It says, verse 45 of chapter 27, it says, "Now from the sixth hour of daylight is 3 p.m. in the afternoon, correct? Okay, from 6 until the ninth hour, that would be 6 p.m., so 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., it was dark. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying," and that's Aramaic, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This is when he died. 9. What would that be? 6 p.m. And we know Israel's in the northern hemisphere. They have the same kind of time cycle as we do. Same seasons too. So we know that he died, or we assume, okay, let's take their assumption. Okay, they two nights and a day. They say he died on Good Friday. Did they not say that? Good Friday. Okay, if we got Good Friday here, 6 p.m., right before dark, there's one night, two nights. If he was raised on Sunday morning, where's the third night? Days. We don't even have a full day. He died right before sunset. One day. Two nights in a day. Is the Bible incorrect? Is Jesus incorrect in his prophecy? How can you get 3 days and three nights from Friday afternoon? Impossible. And you know, as we're about to read, that the two Marys came as it began to dawn Sunday morning, correct? Now, I've been told that that meant as it began to dawn towards Sunday, that means Saturday night, you know, at sunset. Now, this is pretty clear in the Greek that it means Sunday morning when the sun came up. They weren't walking around in the dark and they didn't have light poles outside to light the way. Okay, so let's look at some scripture here. Matthew 28:1. trying to go in order for you. Matthew 28:1. It says, now, after the Sabbath. After the Sabbath, Saturday. As it began to dawn, which means the sun rises, not it's dark. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. Okay, there's some differences in what we're about to read, but it's clear in this version that an earthquake had already occurred, and it says, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone away and sat upon it. Nowhere in there do I see that they saw Jesus walking out of the tomb. Nowhere. Because guess what? He was what? Already gone. He was already gone. And talking about this angel, it says, his appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. They fell out. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know who that you're looking for Jesus who's been crucified. He is not here. He has risen. He did not rise when the two Marys were there. Already gone. Well, how can he do that? There's a stone in the way. Do you really think he has to have a stone removed to get out of that tomb? No. He doesn't need the stone to roll back. We need the stone to roll back. But he does not. Let's go on to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. Let's see what this account says here. First verse. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they may come and anoint him. They were wanting to take care of the body. They could not do that on the Sabbath. They had to wait. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So when did they come? Saturday night? No. They came early Sunday morning. When the sun had risen. And they were saying one to another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance? Looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. He was already gone Sunday morning. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. First verse of chapter 24 of Luke says, but on the first day of the week at early dawn. Dawn doesn't mean the day is changing. It means the sun's coming up. They came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. He was already gone. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing, and the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. They didn't fall backwards, just to show you another place there. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen." Not he is rising, not he has just gone, but he was already gone. And he reminds them, "Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" You cannot get 3 days from Good Friday. Impossible. You cannot get 3 days from Sunday morning unless you go back. Back past Good Friday. So let's go John 20. John 20. Going through all four accounts here. John 20 says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple who Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've taken him.' So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb, and the two were running together, and the other disciple ran faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stopping, he looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in." There were linen wrappings there, but Jesus was already gone. Now, if he rose on Sunday morning, if he was already gone on Sunday morning, you have to figure out the timeline. How can it be? Well, first, you've got to realize that Jesus, in his resurrected state, can walk through walls. He can walk through stone. He can walk on water. He can do amazing things. You can stick your hand through his side. Can you not? He's not human any longer. He's not restricted. The stone did not have to be rolled away. Let's look at Luke 24. Go back just a little bit. Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 28. This is after he's resurrected. Talking about the apostles, verse 28 says, "And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further, but they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us.'" They're talking to Jesus. "For it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him." They didn't know who he was at first. This is Jesus. And look at the next words. "And he vanished from their sight." This is not the human Jesus. If he can vanish from their sight, can he vanish from the tomb? Does he need the stone rolled back? He does not. So let's look at our timeline here. If they're at the tomb this morning, then this does not count as a day. One night, two nights, three nights, right? 3 nights. To get 3 days, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. The only way for him to have been risen at that time was for him to be crucified on Wednesday afternoon at 6 p.m. Then you got one. See, I got a one there. Two, three. Right? Three nights. Then days. One, two, three. He would have been raised sometime around here. About 6 o'clock, if you want to say he's precise, in 72 hours. That means he was already gone here. There is no way you can prove it any other way. How the world gets it wrong, I have no idea. Because there's a ton of mathematicians, and you don't even have to be really that good to count to three. Either you have to believe two nights and one day, or you got to go all the way back to Wednesday afternoon. That's it. So why do they worship on Sunday morning? Was he risen on Sunday morning? Yeah, he was already gone. Did he come out of the tomb on Sunday morning? No. In fact, if you believe that he was still in the tomb Saturday night, through the night, then you have to believe it was 3 days and four nights. Can't do it any other way. So I want you guys to understand there's no other way. How the world got on Good Friday, I don't know. Maybe that's why the United States is so bad in math compared with the rest of the world. I don't know. This is one of the most basic and simple principles in the Bible. How did we get so far away from it? I don't know.